Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. How you doing, Christine?
Doing okay. How about you, Julie?
I'm doing awesome. And today I'm going to try and not say the word exactly. Just realizing that I tend to use that word a lot as a connector in some sense, or an agreeable word with you what you're saying, like, yes.
And not only that, but you say it, you pronounce it E-G-G-S.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly what I do. Oops. So I'm going to try my best. I'm going to probably fail. So this is not really a pass-fail kind of grade today. It's more progress.
Okay.
Progress is what I'm going for today. Mm-hmm. But anyway, hey.
Tell us about who we are, Julie.
We're Christine, Marie, and Julie. We're mother and daughter. We're mother and daughter life optimization coaches. You can go to our blog at ChristineMarieAndJulie.com. We're law of attraction coaches as well. You're a certified psychotherapist, former teacher.
Certified psychotherapist.
Well, you're a psychotherapist with a lot of certifications and lots of different
stuff. That's right. That's right.
You have it in addiction counseling and grief counseling. You're just so cool, girlfriend. I can't compete.
Exactly.
I can't compete.
Now I'm saying exactly.
Exactly. That's fine. You can say it. I will try not to say it as much.
Let's talk about selling our book, The Clutterfly Effect, Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life.
That's right. Go to Amazon. Just put in The Clutterfly Effect.
It'll say that it was an Amazon number one bestseller.
Which it was. Awesome. I'm going to change my word from exactly to awesome when I'm agreeing with you. Yeah, we would love it. It's a great book. It really is about optimizing your life.
Life optimization.
I mean, what if you said to yourself in 6 weeks or in 8 weeks, what if my life could just get 10% better?
Yeah, I was just saying that to a client last week. You know, what if in a year, wherever you're at right now, which is, you know, comfortable, you could be just 10% better.
Right. And that might mean
different to everything. And you wouldn't even notice it.
No. I remember Tony Robbins said, if you improved your life by just 1% a day, you may think that in a year it would be improved by 100, you know, in 100 days, 100%. No, it doesn't work like that. It really grows exponentially because 1%.
Like interest.
Like exactly right. Like interest. Exactly. Correct, Amundo.
Exactly. You're going to be doing all these different other words for that.
I guess. But see, I'm just always so amazed at who you are that I'm always agreeing with you. That's not true at all.
Not true at all, yeah.
Because sometimes you're like, everything I'm saying, you're disagreeing with me. No, I'm just giving you, I'm having a good conversation here.
That's right. You want to stimulate the conversation.
Yes. Or like Grandma used to say, I'm playing the devil's advocate.
Yeah.
No matter what you're going to tell me. She'll just come out and tell you, too. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's just play the devil's advocate right now. What if everything you did turned out crap or was wrong? I hope. What would you do then? I don't know.
We were watching last night, London Has Fallen.
Yes.
And there's a line, the president is talking to his best buddy, but he's also his guard, you know, Gerald Butler or Jerry Butler, and whose wife is pregnant and just about ready to pop.
Oh.
And so he's giving him some advice. He said, give me some advice, you know, on crawling, on diapers, on light switches, you know, electrical outlets. He goes, I'll tell you one thing. He said, don't criticize, always encourage. Now, I thought that was a great line.
Yes.
And then I thought, you know, my parents did just the opposite. Just the opposite.
Yes. Well, you were sharing.
If there was a chance that you could criticize us, Mama, Daddy, you did.
Well, and you turned out okay.
$45,000 and 20 years of therapy later.
You turned out okay. Well, you know, it's interesting because you were telling me about Grandpa's sage advice, because at the end of the day, sometimes he'd come on your, you know,
set. As a little girl.
Mm-hmm. Not when you're 15 or 16.
No. As a little girl, and I'd go on his recliner, sit in his lap, and he would tell me his wisdom of the day.
Yes. He goes, what's going on with you, Christine? And you said, I got a test coming up tomorrow, Dad. Yeah. Got a test. I got to study for it. He goes, I'm feeling a little stressed out about it, Dad. And he said, well, here's what you do. what's the worst you can probably do in this test?
I said, get every single one of them wrong.
Yes, that's like an E in that point, right?
When I was growing up, it was E, not F.
Yes. I don't know when that happened where we skipped the E. It's like skipping floor 13, but F made sense because yes. F is fail.
Right.
But then how does it go?
He was for,
Yeah, he was like, So what did your dad tell you then?
Oh, he said, well, here's what you're, this is great, Chris, because it's just like life. You're going to imagine the worst case scenario and you're going to prepare for that. And then anything better than that is going to look like gravy to you. So that's exactly how my dad raised me. It's like, what's the worst case scenario? What's the worst that could possibly happen? How are you going to feel about that? What are you going to do? And then if anything is even a little bit better, smooth sailing. It's gravy.
Well, there is something to say about that philosophy.
Yes, there was.
Because for sure, that could breed, first of all, it could breed just this idea, don't ever shoot for the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And expecting everything bad to go wrong. And if nothing does go wrong, and then you are mildly happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey.
But I spent a great majority of my childhood imagining the worst.
That's true.
Seriously.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Which probably made you a good writer.
Yes.
It's not your creative mind. It's like, oh, gosh, what is the worst that could happen? It's just so interesting how nowadays we wouldn't even think about doing that.
No, that's why I said the one pearl of wisdom from that movie last night was, you know, don't criticize, encourage.
Encourage. Well, what's they say, you know, when you're twins, as adults, we are so hard on ourselves when we're trying something new. And if we don't get it right off the bat, we feel it's not for us.
Right.
And, you know, what's that line is, would you, if a baby didn't start crawling or didn't start walking, would you just say, you're done.
Forget about it.
Yeah. You failed.
You tried three times.
I'm thinking this walking thing's
not for you.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't say that at all. You say, come on, we can encourage you. You can do it. You maybe put their favorite toy just right in front of them. Come on, come get it. You know,
that's what Elliot does to me.
He's your favorite toy.
He's my favorite toy. And I always want to just be able to reach out and touch him. And he just moves just like 1 inch beyond that.
Right. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a little stinker, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Cute as a button, soft as can be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds like a song.
Yes. Cute as a button, soft as can be.
Cute as a button, soft as can be.
For whatever reason.
Maybe it sounds like more like a Charmin commercial.
That could be.
I wonder what's the button.
I think that our Charmin commercials or toilet paper commercials in general have gotten pretty racy.
Yes.
You know, I love
all about the commandos
in white pants. And like, are you brave enough to go commando in white pants?
Jeez, how messy can you be?
But the truth is, even if I was totally clean down there, I still don't know if I feel comfortable going commando in white pants. You know, I mean, what if I laugh my ass off? Somebody told a really great joke.
Right.
You know, oh, please, can I tell a great joke?
The one I told you?
Yes.
Sure.
Not the second one you told me, because that was a little...
Let me tell that one.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to tell that one. Now, so, tell a great joke, Julie.
Okay, well, first off, I joined Snapchat
this week. Yes.
A couple reasons why.
And I learned something new about Snapchat.
What?
Number one, I can now identify the app or the icon
of
it. Number two, it can't be longer than 10 seconds.
Yes.
And number three... most people don't hear it the first time around.
Well,
and they call you up right afterwards and say, please do it again.
Yeah, what did you say? Yeah. Well, it's interesting because what I learned about Snapchat yesterday is that if within like 20 seconds or 30 seconds, you can repeat it. If you go to this one part and you go click it again and it'll play again, but only it'll play one more time.
So we did learn something.
So, yeah. Well, and so I do because it's nice to talk to, because Doug does it and with his girls and they're like, join Snapchat, then we can send you stuff and it'll be really cool. I like it because the video is then gone or the picture is then gone. But I don't like it because sometimes when you're just out and about, you kind of like reviewing some of your texts between people you love.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this brings back good memories, you know, and makes me happy.
Does Doug really do Snapchat, though, really? Because every time we've done it to him, he calls like, I didn't hear it. I didn't have my voice. I mean, it doesn't sound like a person who knows how to do it.
No, he knows how to do it. I mean, he does it. I don't know if he sends it, though. But I think he receives it. I don't know. He hasn't sent any to me, though. Mm-hmm. But he does do it. He opens mine up. But he didn't know about repeating it. And so yesterday we were able to do that. And so he's like, oh, I get to play it again. Oh, that makes sense. And I get that because the first, it's your brain takes a second to catch up. So you're like, oh, wait, they're saying something. Hillary and Quinn typically just write something down.
Yeah, they don't talk.
And they do a video and they write something down in the closed caption. So for 10 seconds, you have time to read it.
Right.
See what's going on right. And so forth. That's kind of interesting.
Yes.
But here's the joke that I had to say 3 times before I got it all in 10 seconds. And you kept saying, well, you're just not saying it fun enough. I go, well, I only have 10 seconds.
That's when I found out about that.
Yes. So here's the joke. You know, President Bill Clinton was on the campaign trail with his wife, Hillary.
She's running for president?
Yeah, she's running for president. Can you believe that? And he was, you know, kissing babies, and I saw him kissing a baby. You know, the unfortunate thing was the baby was still breastfeeding. I just find that joke hysterical.
That's hysterical.
Yeah. Then you said, let's do another joke. I said, well, okay, give me another joke. Two peanuts were walking down the street, and one was assaulted.
Well, that's the only thing I think of in 10 seconds. It's like, yeah, ba-doom, ba-ba-dee.
It's sort of like, there's three tomatoes walking down the street, a mama tomato, a daddy tomato, and a baby tomato. And the baby tomato starts lagging behind, and the dad puts his foot down on him and squishes him and says, catch up. That's an old Pulp Fiction joke. I don't know if I told it right.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Very cute.
Well, except the Papa ketchup, Papa tomato killed the baby tomato. Yeah. Made ketchup.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like cruel, insensitive, great Father's Day joke.
Yes.
Exactly.
We were trying to think of, since it's Father's Day, I was trying to think of stuff that my dad did, you know, that would be fun and stuff. I was like,
and I think of like, well, you know, for the most part, my dad's just totally fun and nice all the time.
Right.
I can't think of one or two extreme
right.
things. I just, you know, overall, he's a good guy.
I remember like we would, all the four kids would be in the back seat of the car. And I would always, my dad was famous for swinging his arm over the front seat to back to smack us. And so I was like, Elliot,
just out of reach.
I just want to be in this place. It's just out of reach, you know.
I just remember.
But then the problem was with that place, when my dad would finish his cigarettes, he'd just like flick it out the window. But because the windows were rolled down, it'd end up like getting sucked back in. You'd be like dodging these cigarettes.
That's so funny.
You get like burn marks.
Oh, that's so funny. I just remember your mom would say, she was so happy about this one story about how cute your brother Steve was. Steve had done something, who knows? I think he was like 12 or 13, and he deserved a beating for it or a whipping or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Grandpa was out chasing him down. And Grandma always said,
he wasn't that old, but yeah.
Oh, he was younger than that?
Yeah.
Okay. And then finally, Steve just stopped. He said, you know what? I'll take the beating because you're going to have a heart attack trying to chase me. Yeah.
And my parents love telling that story.
They love telling that story.
And it really epitomizes what it was like growing up in our household. But that was like a badge of honor, that story was.
It was.
That my brother Steve stopped and said, you know, come on, I'll just take it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to...
You're going to die, Grandpa. Yeah, yeah. Yo, you're going to die, old man. All right, Daddy, I'll just take the thing because I don't want you to get hurt. You know, we'll just take it.
Right.
Like, okay. So
happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. For me, because of my memory being, I just have, for me, I can't tell you like one or two incidents with Dad that were great. I can tell you that we've always just had a really good time together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've
always
just
hung out.
Since, Florida was great. SeaWorld was wonderful. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, that was awesome. Mm-hmm. Disney World was cool. It was funny, though. We went to SeaWorld. We had a 5-day vacation. I would recommend this. You know what? If it's possible, I think that children, kids, or even as adults, should go on a vacation with their parents, even separately. Like, do a mom-daughter kind of thing. And then do a dad-daughter kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It just builds relationships like crazy. And I remember that relationship with that vacation with Dad that we took together. And I remember two things about it. I remember you were really pissed that we went, even though you planned it and asked us if we wanted to go. But you were like,
thinking every step of the way, of course they won't go.
Of course, I'm like, we're not that kind of martyrs. I'm like, you're like, hey, do you want to go to, you know, Florida with your father for 5 days? Yes, I'll take off of work. We'll go to, yes. Like, oh, you do? Well, I can get a good deal. I'm like, great. That's even awesome. That's awesome. And then I just remember calling you up, telling you how it was going. You're like, oh, all right, fine. You know, click.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Love you, Mama. Love you.
That doesn't sound like me
at all. Doesn't sound like you at all. Well, that was like mid-therapy.
Yes.
That was like not the whole therapy that you've had, mid-therapy. Now you wouldn't do it at all.
No.
But
I wouldn't even think it.
No, you wouldn't even think it. You'd be happy for us. Mm-hmm. But in the times that you and I go away by ourselves, it just is different.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you and Dad are together and I'm there, it's you two, and definitely your daughter,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's just two of us together, we have to rely on each other.
We're girlfriends.
You know? We're girlfriends.
It's life with a girlfriend.
Yeah, and when it's Dad and I, we're just father and daughter, just hanging out, you know, no big deal. It was sort of when I went to San Diego this year with my brother, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a sweet time, and it was such a short amount of time that we really just put a lot of living in it,
mm-hmm.
that it just was just nice and sweet. And it was so funny over the weekend, Greg sent us a video. He loves movie apps or Movie Maker or whatever it is on his phone. And so he'll take pictures and he'll add appropriate music, typically tear-jerking music, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he'll edit together. And so he sent me a video of our trip to San Diego. And it was so interesting because I cried a little bit. And you saw it. And the music, I don't know what the song was, but it talked about hanging out with each other more when we cross over. It's like, what? What are you talking about?
I don't plan
dying anytime soon. I go, what's going on here? But it's brought tears to my eyes a little bit. And then you said, and when you saw it, you said, oh, that SOB. I go, you went, it's on. We're gonna do a video, and he's gonna be on the floor, crying like a baby.
I said, "It's on like Donkey Kong,
like Donkey Kong." And so later on after that, you know, we started creating the video, and I just texted Gregory. I said, "You know, just want to let you know, heads up, my man. Mom's gonna create a video, and it's gonna make you cry like a baby." And in her words, "It's on." And then he texts me back. He goes, "Challenge accepted." Send me a little heart. It's like, you're going down. You're going down. Please go, come on. How dare you send us this video with this song? It's like, it was a sweet song, but you're in the background, you're going, why do I have such sad, why am I feeling this tender heart about this video of San Diego?
Yeah, where it said, a sign that said, do not swim with the seals, bacteria.
Yeah, high levels of bacteria. Levels
passing over.
And it was sort of this, this southern rock flair to it.
Mm-hmm.
And initially you don't hear the video. Mm-hmm. Or you hear the song, but you don't hear the words.
Right.
So you're getting this emotional tug, but you don't really know why.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, wait, say what? What was that song singing? What's that song talking about?
There's just this picture of you in the ocean.
Yeah.
And you're like, someday we'll be together again.
Yeah, hanging out together. We've crossed over that bridge. I'm like,
wait, what?
What bridge? Who's crossing over? I don't plan on crossing over anytime soon. So we've been thinking about songs like, you know, sunrise, sunset. Oh, I can't talk about it just quite yet. It wouldn't be a surprise. Can't talk about it just quite yet. So we're coming up. It's a challenge. We've thrown the microphone down.
Yes.
You know.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
It's on like Donkey Kong. Exactly. I agree. Concur.
Oh, exactly.
Exactly. So, girlfriend, I want to do a little movie review before we go into Elliot's Corner.
Sure,
we talk about what we've learned from our dog, Elliot.
Yes.
And finally into Pillar Talk, where we're going to talk about our continuing conversation on
with
stress
time.
And time.
Yes.
Going from Newtonian to Einstein, and then talking about God time. Mm. And that as we've kind of committed to going deeper with this concept of time, new things are coming to us. Mm-hmm. Great law of attraction, right? The more you focus on something, true? It comes to you, more information.
And also, the better it gets, the better it gets.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Okay, so here we go, Mama. Give us your review on London Has Fallen.
Yes, quick review on London Has Fallen. Dad and I watched it last night while we were having KFC. And I had, well, first of all, I had very low expectations. But it was a great movie. It was, if it was 90 minutes, it was, I mean, it was just like, maybe just like 89 minutes. It was just like, wham, bam,
perfect,
thank you, man.
Saturday evening
movie that you know I love.
Yeah.
And it was just like total, like grabbed your attention from the beginning to the end.
Awesome.
So I give it 4 thumbs up.
Or 4 Sherpa hats.
Oh, yes, 4 Sherpa hats. I couldn't remember that. That's what we do.
We do 4 Sherpa
hats. We do Sherpa hats.
Because we like to be your guide on your journey.
Yeah, that's right, because we want to be the guide on your movie-watching journey.
Exactly.
Christine, Marie, and Julie. Yes, when you think Christine, Marie, and Julie, you think movies. Movie reviews. And Sherpa
hats.
I'll
tell you what. I think we have just the same right to review movies as anybody else out there.
Heck yeah. Now, Julie, am I understanding that you have a movie to review as
well? I do, Central Intelligence. Now, before I saw Central Intelligence, mm-hmm. I've been wanting to see this since I saw the previews.
Isn't the previews awesome? But let me, can I say something before that? Dwayne The Rock Johnson is a friend of mine on Facebook.
Yes. Now, I just want you to be clear about this.
Are you gonna shoot me down?
Kinda.
Why?
I'm not going to shoot you down.
Okay.
You are definitely a friend of...
I mean, when it was his birthday, did he not tell me it's my birthday today?
Yes, you're right.
And when and I said to him, hey, I'm gonna can't wait to see your new movie.
Yes. You're right. You're totally right.
Okay.
Yeah, you're...
He's a friend of mine.
He's a friend of yours. Yes.
Exactly.
Exactly, for sure. So anyway, I was watching Graham Norton. And he was on with Jeff Goldblum and one of the Helmsmiths. I don't know his name.
Helmsley brothers?
Yes.
Oh, boy, they're cute.
They are. The young one.
Is he the one that's not married?
Yes. He's engaged to Miley Cyrus, something like that.
Siley Myers.
Yes, one of those. Anyway, he was saying that they showed a billboard. And it was so funny because it says... you know, you need a little heart and a big Johnson to win or something like that. I thought that was so funny. But I've been hearing
Kevin
the reviews.
Kevin Hart and Dwayne The Rock Johnson, right.
And I've been hearing the reviews, and they've just been horrible reviews. And so, but I've been looking.
That was compelling you to go see it then.
Well, in some ways it kind of was, because this week nothing was out except for Dory. And
the only thing I want to see is The Conjuring 2.
Conjuring 2 was out, but it's not playing the drive-in.
Right.
And I really wouldn't mind seeing it at the drive-in.
Oh, you have to.
Yes. And
you have to see it at the drive-in with through the fog of the mosquito killer.
Exactly. And then so anyway, we went last night. Doug and I went last night after a graduation party for someone. And it was, I enjoyed it. I give it 2 Sherpas.
2 Sherpas.
Yeah.
2 Sherpa hats.
Doug and I said, it was fun enough. And it was fun enough. It was mm-hmm. a warm summer night. Mm-hmm. What else you can do is we had the graduation party. We wanted to leave and go see a movie. Mm-hmm. And we were cool. You know, he loves getting popcorn. You know, it was good. There were some slow stuff. And the dialogue wasn't that great. The thing I will say mostly about Central Intelligence, mm-hmm. great concept.
Yeah.
It needed more action.
Yeah.
Needed to be a little bit shorter because it was over 90 minutes.
No.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
This really was a 90-minute show.
Yeah.
And they wrote The Rock's character, Dwayne Johnson's character, too goofy. Mm-hmm. Just a little too goofy. Mm-hmm. And
is he really in the CIA?
Yes, he really is.
But even though he's a goofy guy.
Yes, he's a goofy guy that then can switch it on to be like, you know...
Gotcha.
Bourne, you know,
right.
Jason Bourne,
right.
Which I can't wait to see that. So it was more just, I felt there's just a little disconnect to who the characters were. And I would have liked to have had it just more in sync. Mm-hmm. A little more action, mm-hmm. a little more Dwayne, a little more cool. I learned a new word, and the word is jorts, and those are jean shorts, you know?
Jean shorts?
You know, when you guys have, like, or is it skorts? Jorts? I think it's like, so you know, like those longer shorts for guys, mm-hmm. like mid-calf, the
right,
jeans?
Right.
They're called like jorts, I
okay,
guess.
Okay, all right.
That was funny.
Yeah.
Good, Doug. I'm going to buy you jorts. But truly, only Dwayne Johnson can pull those off as an adult man.
Yes.
I'll do. So I give it two Sherpas. You know, not a bad way to spend a Saturday night mm-hmm. if it's warm out, you mm-hmm. know. The other thing is, I do want to say I saw Animal Kingdom on TNT. Which I've been looking forward to seeing that TV show. And Ellen Barkin's in it.
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah, I saw it. I saw the first two episodes.
Oh, is that how many has been played?
So far, I think they played two in a row.
Oh, okay.
First and second
oh,
episode.
I wanted to see that.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good. But what
and
I was shocked
you
about...
You had a tape, right?
Yeah, I believe cool. so. Cool. What I was shocked with was that... I mean, they're just... It's pretty... sexually charged.
Is
I mean,
it really?
Like... And a lot of inappropriateness going on. Like
sexually charged, inappropriate behavior.
Yes. So basically, this is not taking away from the story at all. Ellen Barkin's a mom of four brothers, I think. Yes, four brothers. Mm-hmm. And I don't think all of them are hers. I think a couple might be foster care kids. Mm. They're all adults now. Mm. And they really... it's a crime family.
It's like Ma Barker.
Yeah, basically. And, you know, a lot of these adult men are just walking around naked. And we see their butts all the time. Now, they've got great bods. I'm not
against
it.
In front of their mama?
Oh, yeah. And one time he's naked and he gives his mom a kiss. I'm just like,
that's wild.
Like, oh. I'm a little grossed out by this.
You know what? What kind of writer thinks about that? That's pretty wild.
I don't know. And so I felt a little weird about it all mm-hmm. and kind of grossed out about it. Mm-hmm. And then her we find out right away that previews that her grandson comes with them, and the grandson is in high school, pretty mm-hmm. smart kid mm-hmm. because the mom dies and so forth. And this happens right in the first scene. It's not let anybody know, you know, something, whatever it's called. What is that called? When I tell you something that's going on in the movie, I shouldn't tell you. I don't know. Anyway.
TMI.
Too much information. Right. Exactly. I'm not giving you too much information. And this kid knows that a lot of crap's going down, but it's almost like he feels he can't go anywhere else, mm-hmm. which is really strange because I'm like, dude, you probably have other options.
Mm-hmm.
Even
than
if
to
you
stay
were
in this crime
yeah,
family.
Yeah, stay in this crime family. Mm-hmm. And so it was very odd, but I'm intrigued by this show. It's... just very odd show.
Well, now you've got me intrigued. I might have to watch it.
And
is it an hour show?
Yes, it's an hour show.
So you've got 2 hours taped then.
I do. Well, it's interesting because there's a part that says, should I be wasting my time on these kind of shows mm-hmm. that really have nothing of any real value but mm-hmm. entertainment?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like reality show, which kind of... okay, I've got to, I have to say that I have been reevaluating my TV options lately.
Yes, you have.
Because I've had a physical reaction this week two times.
Two times. I witnessed it.
And I thought I was going to pass out.
Yeah.
And so I'm really reevaluating. Now, as I say this, the day after I said this to Mom, I'm like, I think I've got to reevaluate what's going on here in my life.
Yes, you do.
I'm reading this book on stress. And time. And one thing this doctor was talking about, he says, literally give yourself a weekend without media.
Right.
And see how that feels in your body.
Any media. Right.
I'm like, well, that's interesting. I know about taking time for meditation, which I do. But in this day and age, there's a lot of media around, whether it's podcasts, radio, TV, you know.
Any device.
Phone. Right. Yeah, any device. And so watching The Housewives in New York and... I don't know what they were doing. They were just acting crazy.
It's a queer season this year.
Oh, everything is just amped up and mm-hmm. crazy mm-hmm. about literally nothing.
Yeah.
Just nothing. And I'm starting to have this real physical anxiety attack, which I've had before in the past, so I know what they feel like.
Mm-hmm.
I remember about 5 years ago, I had to really work my way through those anxiety attacks.
That
I
was a little
having.
Bit longer, yeah.
Yeah, and got through those and haven't had one in a long time, but this was... I guess I felt like it made me crazy.
And it was weird. It was like, ooh, that was happening.
Yes. And so I'm like,
it was craziness.
I said, please just turn this off. Mm-hmm. And well, then I didn't say that. I don't think I said, hold on a second.
I think I did.
I don't know. I think I just said, okay, let me just close my eyes for a second. Mm-hmm. And then it was almost over, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was, I don't know if it was Lou Ann was talking to Bethany and mm-hmm. she was just running her mouth.
They were talking to each other and having two separate conversations.
Right.
It was so crazy.
And this, seeing nobody them was hearing behave each other. Even more crazy.
Right.
All weekend long, I'm being cruel to each other.
Yeah.
And I thought, these women have money, supposedly.
Yeah.
They got their bodies.
Yes.
They're smart. They got a lot going for them.
Right.
And they're behaving so poorly.
Yeah.
And I started going, am I wrong even watching this anymore?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
I think that's a good thought. I really do.
So, I mean, at least the Kardashians, I at least know it's all bull crap. You know, it's all just set up for promotion.
Yes, exactly.
It's just one big marketing campaign.
Right.
I get that. And then I feel like when they are throwing in their own personal, like Luann comes in and you're like, oh, you like what I'm wearing? Why does that like what you're wearing? Oh, go, this is my collection. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, every episode. Yes, you have a collection. Yes, you do this.
Yes, you
and
have
also,
a
please
wine.
Buy our book, The Clutterfly Effect. Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation.
Buy our book. And if not, just press the donate button.
And then Watch What Happens Live was on, and I was watching it with you. It might be a different day, but Sonia Morgan was on. Was that her name?
Sonia and Jerry O'Connell.
Which I love Jerry O'Connell.
Yes.
And he was great. But she was talking, and I don't know what she was saying, but I had another anxiety attack.
Yeah. Was she just talking about sleeping with everybody?
Yes. And she was suggesting that she had slept with Luann's fiance literally the day before they got together.
Right.
And I'm like, these women are in their late 40s, early 50s.
Yeah.
And do they realize that this just comes across? I'm not being a prude. I'm not being slut-shaming. I'm not calling them sluts. I really am not. I'm just like, I don't know. I just kind of start feeling.
Yeah.
I think I'm going insane.
Yeah. You. It was not fitting into your schematic.
No. And it wasn't like she was liking this guy. It was more just something to do.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
She kept saying, like, we're all adults here. Well,
I know,
really, is that what adults do? I guess maybe it is. I don't know.
I don't know, because my mom always said, you know, the older you get, you got to be responsible for your coochie.
You got to be responsible down there.
Got to be responsible, guy. Don't be sharing it with everybody. You don't know what you can be sharing it with. And whoever you share it with, you're sharing it with those people they've shared it with, and so on,
and so on.
And then when you get that, you're going, and so my
thanks, Mama, for telling me that.
Yeah. I don't want my coochie shared with everybody in the world. So I'm thinking, did their parents not teach them to just kind of, I mean, have fun?
I know.
Go have fun. But, you know, I just didn't, I don't know. And is everybody still wearing condoms at the age of 50? I don't know. Because they should be.
I have no idea, Jess.
I don't know. And maybe because I grew up when HIV was a real death sentence.
Yeah.
In my mind, you just, you know, just don't do that stuff.
It was that and working at a gas station.
Yes, which I'm all for now. They got good. Now I know our local gas station has benefits.
It's like, profit sharing, 401k.
The people who are working at the gas station have their own jobs. They're entrepreneurs, and they work there for
and
benefits.
And they get free popcorn and coffee all day
long. So it's their secondary job. You know, so I think literally I just was having... And so I'm having to reevaluate my TV watching. And I might have to give it up for 6 weeks.
Yes.
I don't know.
I'm going to encourage you to do that.
All right. I'm there.
If you do it, I'll do it.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm going to do it. It's going to be hard for a couple of days, I believe.
Right.
And then because I'm used to having things in the background
Right.
And what if I didn't know about the news? Well, so be it.
Yeah.
Things will pass and come to be.
Yeah, it wasn't with that one, like Jewel, when she was up in the mountains when 9/11 happened. She didn't even know about it.
No. And then when she came back down, she's like, oh, no.
What's everybody talking about?
Yeah. But it was, you know, life still went on.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, she got that break.
Yeah.
It didn't have to assault her nervous system.
Right.
I remember when I was getting my certification massage therapy years ago, and when I was there, Dahmer had been murdered in prison. Mm-hmm. And when we went, there, we had a like a day break. And we all went to town because you really are separated during this time.
Right.
And we went to town. And I said, oh, no. I go, this is really interesting. I didn't say, oh, no. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Dahmer was murdered in prison. And this guy goes, and I go, oh, my God, I didn't even know about it. And the guy goes, well, why would you have to know about it? What would you have done? Mm-hmm. Does it pertain to you in any way? And I had to think about it because, you know, he's my sage at this point. He was like the older guy. And I'm like, oh, you're right. What really do I have to know about this? And it probably would have clouded my mind anyway.
That's right. Would it have made you a better massage therapist?
Probably not.
That's right.
So let's move on to Elliot's Corner. I once had a dog, or should I say, he once had me. Welcome to Elliot's Corner. Okay, girlfriend. Tell me what, you know, we're here at Elliot's Corner.
Yes.
Where we're talking about, we can learn everything we need to learn from our dogs.
100%.
And I'm going to say our dogs and dog owners.
Yes.
Because you had a really cute interaction this week with a dog owner.
We did. We did. We were leaving the complex and this one guy, I guess he lives, I would say, maybe four houses from us, but on a different street, a couple different streets. But we know him. To wave to him. And we've been here 20 something years and he's been there same about. And we actually stopped a couple of days ago and said, you know, hey, who's the landscaper that you're using? Cause he had an addition built on his house and the guys did an excellent job. And so we were driving by and he pulled us in like, hey, come over here. And I got the name and number of mm-hmm. the people. So we did. And he's like, he's retired. He's an older dude. And he's like, you can eat off his garage floor.
Very
his
neat.
Yard is immaculate. Yeah. Everything he does is immaculate.
So and you on get garage this, sale weekend, he is the only guy in the whole complex that puts a sign up saying, do not park on my grass.
Yeah, do not park here. And so we as a family, we've always had the impression of this man that he's particularly anal.
Yeah.
Because of his yard is immaculate, his garage is immaculate. He's always working on something. And,
right.
You can set your watch to when he brings his Weber grill out and he starts grilling his little chicken or whatever. We've just had a waving relationship. Hey, dude.
How you doing?
Yeah. And we knew that he got a dog about 3 years ago. And so we pulled in and he said, hey, I'll get the name of these landscapers for you. And so we're just a little bit chit-chatting and Elliot's in the back in his crate barking. He goes, oh, you got a doggy in here. What kind is it? And we go, Wheaton Terrier. And,
yeah.
And then Dad said something like, boy, your dog is because his dog is trained very well.
Right.
He sits down when a car passes and doesn't look to the left, doesn't look to the right. He's just totally obedient. And so he said, well, he's good on the outside, but, you know, he gets a little crazy on the inside. And we went, oh, our dog is, you know, pretty crazy as well. And Ellie's just barking. And I said, yeah, he used to go to doggy daycare for 2 to 3 days a week, and he got kicked out. And at that moment, this old guy, you know, he just got this sparkle in his eye. He goes, your doggy, Elliot, got kicked out of daycare? He goes, well, I like him even more now. He's like, screw them.
Exactly.
He said, screw them.
Exactly.
And they're going to kick him out of daycare, you know. And it was like at that moment, this old guy that we really just thought was like, anal dude, you know.
Everything pristine, everything done right,
and all
the time.
And all of a sudden, he was like this, well, screw them if they can, or, you know, and like, I like Elliot even more now, you know, and he was like that. And it was just like, it was just darling.
Yeah.
It was just darling.
It's interesting about Elliot being kicked out of daycare, because before that happened, I felt so blessed that my little doggy.
Every day I felt blessed.
He could go 2 times a week to doggy daycare. Spend the whole day with his girlfriend, Linda.
Yes.
And
his other girlfriend, Katie Lou.
And just hang out and be and just have fun. And
Come home exhausted.
Yay. And it's interesting because now we do save some money, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
We're not paying for it. But there was nothing that was going on in my life that I wasn't in alignment for this guy to go to.
That's exactly right.
And so you have to just kind of let it go, I guess.
Yeah.
And I understand why. I've taken him out a lot now to different dog parks. And the other day this week, I took him out to one DeKalb. A lot more people go to this one.
I mean, yeah, it's
there's always
big.
4 or 5 dogs.
Right.
The other thing I don't like about this one is that they have a dog size bigger than 20 pounds and smaller than 20 pounds. 20 pounds is
if you have like a 10-pound dog and a 20, that's huge difference.
Well, but not just that. You know, my 40-pound dog or 35-pound dog compared to the Mastiff that was there, that was 110, that's a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And so I took my dog on the smaller side because what had happened, he was playing around, doing okay, and I looked around, and my dog, Elliot, was staring down with his teeth exposed in a growling mode at the Mastiff and just looking at it like, The Mastiff did not do anything. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And because the Mastiff wasn't afraid of my dog, right. You know, and he was not fixed, by the way.
The Mastiff wasn't?
Oh, no. He was definitely not fixed.
Because he had a like big balls.
Exactly.
I cannot lie.
Exactly. And then my dog started kind of going after him a little bit. And so I just picked him up. And Elliot was gnawing on my hand. It was kind of, he did not bite me. It was interesting because my arm was in his mouth and no scratches, no nothing. And that's what he does. Right. You know, he just likes to put his mouth on my, you know, and so I put it on top of the table. There's a picnic table there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well, I just don't like this. And the owner of the Mastiff said, you know what? Thank you for doing that. You'd be amazed when I come here, how many owners, when their dogs get a little aggressive, mm-hmm. don't stop it. Mm-hmm. They just let it go, let it work itself out. And I was like, well, he needs to know that he can trust me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pull him out of a situation. Mm-hmm. And he also needs to know that it's not appropriate. But he also had a sore foot that day. Mm-hmm. And I thought he may just be a little more vulnerable.
He was.
And I was seeing these other dogs, and they were bigger dogs, 80 pounds or more. There were mm-hmm. 4 of them. Mm-hmm. Getting into it a little bit, you know, kind of gnawing each other, you know, playing with their mouth open, you know, doing that jumping and the neck thing. And a couple times they would get the smaller dog on the back and bark at him. I'm like, okay. And I just removed my dog from the situation and put on the other side with small dogs. There were no small dogs at the time, but I just did it. Mm-hmm. And it was, I felt good about it, but I saw that Elliot's the kind of dog that could just let
things.
There
are no small dogs, only small dog owners.
Exactly. So I could see why maybe he's not the best dog for doggy daycare.
Right.
For long term.
Right.
Because he doesn't get along with all 35, you know, all dogs. Mm-hmm. And maybe they have to be, you know, sedated or something. I don't know. But it was interesting talking to Linda about it. She says, you know, I own the place and I can't take my own dogs doggy daycare. Mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah,
whatever. Whatever.
Whatever, Linda.
You broke our hearts, Linda.
Yeah.
So what did we learn this week from Elliot? First of all, not to judge a book by its cover.
That's true.
You know, and second of all, it's okay to know your limitations.
Yeah.
And once you
sometimes your mama just has to take you out of the playground.
Exactly.
Put the walk of shame. He always looks like you take him and you put him under your arm, and he always looks like, what I do now?
What I do now?
What did I do now?
I'm just not afraid to pick the dog up when he's crazy like that.
Yeah.
I just, the moment we, because we had, I was afraid of Molly, the Border Collie, when
and
we had
with
her.
With good reason.
Yes, because she would draw blood. Mm-hmm. And I just was committed that no matter what dog I was going to get, mm-hmm. I would not be afraid of getting bit by my dog.
Right.
And so Ellie, I'm just not afraid. I just, no matter what, whatever he's doing, I'm going to get in there and just remove him from the situation. And he does okay.
That's right.
So, yes, he can trust that his mama or his older sister is going to remove him from the situation. And don't judge a book by its cover.
And don't judge a book by its cover.
You ready for a little pillar talk?
I will.
Pillow talk. Pillow talk. Okay, here we are into pillar talk. And I want to say right now, please go like our page on Facebook. Go to Facebook, go to Christine, Marie, and Julie. Mm-hmm. You'll see our little mugshots there. And Mom's been putting up pictures of her and her hubby. And And we got pictures of Elliot up there as well. Just hit like, will you please? We're starting that process and learning more and more about Facebook all the time and so forth. And go to our book, The Clutterfly Effect, on Amazon. A lot of cool things coming up. And
let us know that you purchased it. And like we always do, we give away the audio.
Yes, we do.
Of it.
Just let us know on support@ChristineMarieAndJulia.com.
Right.
It used to be talktous@ChristineMarieAndJulia.com, but that has just been hijacked by, blue pill ads and online, become an online nurse ads and online physician program.
Can you imagine if you're in the hospital and you're like, hey, where'd you go to school at?
Online.
Online.
Well, can I say one thing? I had a great thought and I lost it. I was looking at, Doug wants to go back to school. And I said, maybe there's some scholarships for you. Not just financial aid for like student loan, but scholarships for you for people reentering the workforce in a different way, you know? And so I put that in there. And there was like, and I put white male over 50. Nothing. There's not one thing. A lot of things for over 45 for women. Mm, a lot of different grants. Yes.
That's good to know.
I thought so, too. A lot of different grants. Yeah.
I know that if I was going to go back to school, I would take up the bagpipes.
Yes, because there are...
Red-haired bagpipe players. You own the world, baby.
I'll tell you what. You are not far from the truth because there are several schools. And if you know the bagpipes...
And you have red hair, kind of look Scottish. I can look Scottish.
Do they, I mean, I'll color my hair for that. I should look into that. And Doug should look into that. Because if you can go to school for free, that would be awesome.
And all you got to do is carry these bagpipes around.
Exactly. Perform at the game. Let's perform there.
Oh, Danny boy. Yeah. The pipes. Okay, I'll shut up.
No, is that how it goes?
Yeah.
The pipes? I guess so. All right. So here we are talking about, we don't have a lot of time to talk about pillar talk, unfortunately. That's okay. So here we are talking about pillar talk. And we're really talking about time. We've been talking about time in the sense of Newtonian time is a time when you believe time is a scarcity.
Right.
And you can look at it as money as well, that you feel you never have enough money, mm-hmm. you never have enough time. And you know what that feels like?
Mm-hmm. You're always rushed around.
Gay Hendricks brought this idea then into looking at time as Einstein time, where you are the creator of your own time. And once you really fully take that responsibility, the stress of never having enough time leaves you.
Yes. And that in itself is peace.
Exactly, because we're really talking about stress. Mm-hmm. And Tony Robbins talks
about... Because we never can get to our zone of genius if we're stressed out. That zone of genius is a place of creativity.
Yes.
And you really chop that off the moment you become stressed about anything, especially time.
And
about Tony Robbins?
Yeah, well, Tony Robbins talks about how time is the great equalizer, because we all have the same amount of time. Mm-hmm. And yet we know people who get... more stuff done or whatever, and people who are always stressed out about time, mm-hmm. always running behind. Mm-hmm. And it's not just time management. It really is a philosophy at how you address your life and time.
It really is, because I notice that the people who stress out about this time, they're just not pleasant.
No.
They're not
they're
pleasant
always in a
to
rush.
Themselves.
No.
And they're not pleasant to be around.
No. And one thing I know, we're only on this planet a short time in the whole scheme of things. And how you live your daily life and the people and how you treat people around you is your legacy. Nothing else really matters.
That's true.
And only a few of us will ever be, have a real impact on the world in some sense. We're all not going to be Abraham Lincoln or president or whatever. And even all of our presidents, we don't know their names of them all, or whatever. But you never know who you're going to touch. Who may have a bigger impact as well. So we're, in some ways, it's really our responsibility to come to the table with clean, clear energy. And be
pleasant. I agree with that.
Now, this week we talked, I heard somebody talk about the idea of God time. They were talking to somebody who was just feeling stressed out all the time. Like, and we know stress is not good for your health. Mm-hmm. There's some stress.
That's our next book, people.
Yes, that's good to get you moving, get you right. motivated.
Yeah, there's good stress and then, you know, kind
then
of positive.
Then there's that chronic stress.
It just is almost ends up being debilitating.
And it can be punishing for yourself and
yes.
your cells and
your
body.
Soul.
Exactly. And this doctor just said right at the back, well, you're not living in God's time
mm-hmm.
because you're forcing everything to come to happen on your own plan, on your own time. But if you could detach just enough to let God come in and saying, well, this will be done in God's time.
Mm-hmm. I think he was really, and when he said that, I felt that he was talking about Einstein time too.
Yes.
Because it really is tapping into that beyond the temporal flow.
Right.
And so you move into that flow, you surrender. You don't surrender the fact that you become lazy or do nothing.
No.
You don't surrender that. But you surrender to the flow of something.
Right.
And then once you surrender to it, then you kind of align with it and get in the groove of it.
Right.
And it's a much more creative, I don't know, awesome
right.
groove
yes
to be in
and
that flow.
This is going to be a journey for me to really work with time, because so many times I feel under the gun, under the pressure, or that I didn't do enough.
I agree with you. I mean, we have a pace, you know, for our business.
Yes.
In the meantime, we're being householders, we've got you know, errands. We've got just a myriad of other
right.
things that are just as important.
Right.
And so sometimes we don't move, quote unquote, as fast
mm-hmm.
as we'd like. But once we surrender that and say, it's God's time.
Yes.
It's Einstein time. We're moving in the flow.
Right.
But it is easy to... It does take the joy out, doesn't it, when you critique yourself like that or you criticize, well, why didn't I get this done enough? Why
right.
is this? And
I remember Edwin Gaines talked about in her book, Four Spiritual Laws of Success,
mm-hmm.
talking about goals. And we talk about goals. And you should have a timeline for your goal.
Yes.
Otherwise, if you don't have
That's the first thing we do.
Oh, yeah. If you don't have a little bit of a pressure,
mm-hmm.
things could just take forever.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes what could happen is you could just fill your day with things that never move the needle. But are good to get done, but not necessarily necessary
mm-hmm.
to get done.
Well, the things that are you have the least resistance to.
You get done first.
End up getting done first.
And if you did those things that have the most resistance, they'd be the ones that move the needle forward a lot faster.
In general, yeah.
In general. And she says, so let's say you didn't make your goal by your time. Well, then just extend it.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to kind of have that tension building, because we believe that you're coming from a point of victory
mm-hmm.
and you're meant to get these things done. But it's life has a tendency of getting in the way as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really just keeping focused on.
And isn't that nice, though? I mean, if you look back, we were just talking about you and your memories with Dad and stuff. If we would have let stuff get in the way, but really we always stopped and let life get in the way,
right,
as opposed to, you know, having
yeah.
these things be so structured and all that
right.
stuff. But it's those little things that make a life.
For sure it is the little things that make a life. And I don't know, the older I get, the more I'm clear on a few things, which is: be kind to one another, give joy, give love, be of service,
mm-hmm.
be, you know, you are blessed to be a blessing.
Yes. Yes.
And the other stuff, yeah, just kind of got to go with the flow in some sense.
Right.
Have your goals, have your plans, and they never, ever turn out the exact way you want them to turn out. And try not to beat yourself up over it. It's hard. There are times mm-hmm. when, you know.
And what if you adapt the attitude that you trust, T-R-U-S-T,
right.
to rely on the spirit totally. So maybe it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to look.
Right.
But maybe it's turning out the way God wanted it to look.
For sure. And I think that
maybe
it's also...
Maybe you could just say that.
Right.
Claim it.
Right. And keep saying, what was I meant to learn during this situation? There are times when I've had to forgive myself for letting too much time lapse before working on a project or a plan. When you are, we all have our daily lives and rituals and routines and jobs or whatever. And when you're trying to do something new, break, the old really holds you back. Mm-hmm. It's ingrained. It's a habit. It's life. And you have to shake things up, clear some clutter to get the new energy in to do it.
Yes.
And in some ways, you've got to just forgive yourself if too much time has passed. Mm-hmm. The older I get, the more time, I know that life is just going by so, so fast. And just enjoy while you can. Mm-hmm. Just really enjoy, bring mm-hmm. love, bring light, bring joy.
Yeah,
do the best you can.
At the end of your life, you're going, oh, I wish I would have, you know, spent one more day working, you know, or
right.
doing something that you didn't enjoy. You know?
Right.
No, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. And
you want one more puppy kiss.
Exactly. Exactly. So everyone, I want to say, have a great weekend. It's the end of a weekend.
Have a great week.
Have a great, awesome week. And we like to bring joy while you listen to us. And, you know, you can have fun while we learn, right? That's the whole point.
Yes.
And thank you for being part of the Girlfriends. Go to our Facebook page, Christine Marie and Julie. Go to our blog, ChristineMarieandJulie.com. And have a great life.
Thanks, Julie. I think the show was great. It was great.